Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicelli. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and this program is all about answering the call, and that's not just limited to religious vocations, but it really applies to all of us, because all of us are called to listen for God's prompting wherever He leads us in this life. But hearing God's call and answering it are two different things, as my guest today can attest. He is Deacon Andrew Naparano from St. Margaret of Crotona Parish in Columbus. So thanks for joining us today, Deacon Naparano, on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel, AM 820.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you. And Deacon Andy, your journey, as we're going to be discovering today, will take us to several different geographic locations. But let's start at the beginning of your faith journey, which takes us to Center Reach Long Island out in Suffolk County. And I know that because I'm a former Long Islander myself. And talk a little bit about the family that you were raised in and how, if at all, that impacted your faith.
Okay, well, Center Reach Long Island. So you escaped too.
I did.
like most, I assume, people that I knew at the time, we were born Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Raised Catholic in what I assumed was the normal way you were raised Catholic. You went to church on Christmas and Easter.
Mm-hmm.
We had lots of Catholic things around the house, crosses, crucifixes, statues, Bibles. I remember one of my earliest memories, my mother says this is not true, but she's wrong. We had, you know, the big white Bibles.
Oh, sure. I have one.
With the maps and the pictures. That was displayed prominently in its place in our home. And one day I remember I was laying on the floor reading it, looking at the pictures, and my mother yelled at me, Andrew, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be reading that. That's the Bible. Put it away. So that was, if I had to have one short story that summed up my Catholic upbringing, I guess that would be it. We were Catholic, as far as we were allowed to be Catholic.
And, you know, just for any listeners who might not be Catholic and hear that story, they may think, that why would your mom say that? But certainly it was, I think, that fear that we could misinterpret something from the Bible and lose our way. Wasn't that kind of the fear of that?
It was, but the things that, you know, the Catholic things in our house were to look at. They weren't really to touch.
Mm.
It's like, a story about the missionaries who bring a lantern to a tribe. And they're so impressed by it and enamored by it, they put a basket over it to keep it from getting wet. That kind of, if you look but don't touch, you defeat the whole purpose of the items that you're trying to protect.
So in all of that, going to Mass, maybe Christmas, Easter, you know, a handful of times of year, how did God and the Catholic Church, you know, kind of, what was your own personal reaction to that? Was there any reaction to that as a young boy growing up?
We were steeped in Catholicism, though, even though the individual families, it was the same for everybody that I knew, but everybody that I knew was Catholic. That's how you identified where you were from.
Mm.
Instead of saying, what school did you go to? You would ask people, what church do you go to?
Mm. So it's almost like a nationality, like being Italian.
In Long Island, it was almost like a nationality.
It was.
Like being Italian. So we were steeped in it, and we were free to express our Catholicism, our Christianity. It was really quite an experience. I've never lived any place else like that, where it was so prevalent and acceptable.
Now, you would take the public school route through high school, all the way through high school, being prepared for your sacraments through CCD classes. But it wouldn't be until your high school years that some of your questions about the faith that you had as a young person began to get answered. And so, tell us about high school level and what was going on with your faith then.
Sure, I think. Like most teens, as you start to grow, you start to question, and explore, and you just need a little bit more. I've always felt spiritual. I felt religious, but never quite knew what to do with it. And it wasn't until I had an opportunity to join a high school youth group at our parish that I realized there were other people who were exploring and questioning and needing more also. And it was in that environment that I began to really understand where my faith fit into my life and into the life of the community and into the life of other people, because we're all connected.
Mm-hmm. And tell us how your faith came into play. You had experienced the loss of people in high school.
Yeah, my high school class experienced probably more than its share of loss due to just natural heart attack, car accidents, such. And that pulls people together on a different level. It erases all the barriers, removes all the barriers and pulls you together. And spent a lot of time in conjunction with the youth group, suffering through that with the families who experienced loss with us.
Because sometimes a loss like that can put people in the other direction, like, why would God do that? And they, turn away.
Yeah, oddly enough, that was never the case. We never, in our small group of people that knew all the people that had, and it was pretty quickly too. It was within, at least my memory is that it was within like a year or two of each other. Mm. We lost five friends.
Wow. That's a traumatic loss. Now, what kind of career paths were you thinking of in high school, and how would that impact your choice of college?
Looking forward is a different answer than looking backwards. looking forward, I had thought I wanted to do something with automotive mechanics. So I went to college right away, out of high school, like normal, like you should, and I didn't like it. All my friends were making money, and I wasn't. I was spending money. So I came home and informed my parents that I was going to quit, which they supported. Mm-hmm. They weren't happy about it, but they supported it. I went to work for a Chrysler dealership, and I was happy, or so I thought, until I realized that I was making... The person next to me was with Chrysler since before World War II.
Wow.
And he was making $65 a week more than I was.
Hmm. Not a lot of room for growth then.
No, not a lot of room for growth. And it was kind of a dry spell in my life spiritually. So I came home for the second time and informed my parents that I was going to quit work. And they were like, okay, but you're running out of things. What do you intend to do? So I went back to college.
Okay.
And I went to the school, and I said, I'm here, I want to come back. And they said, great, what do you want to take? And I said, I have no idea. What do you have? And there was a brand new curriculum called biomedical engineering. And I said, okay, that sounds good. And off I was on my college career for the second time. Now that's looking forward. Looking back, it's clear that this is how God wanted me to meet my wife.
Because that was to take you out to Milwaukee, right? That college would be out in Milwaukee.
Well, I did 2 years in New York and 2 years in Milwaukee.
Okay. And then God would say, as you said, God would put this woman in your path, Julie. So where was she coming at with her faith? Where was she at?
She was, by any account, probably stronger in her faith than I was. She grew up Lutheran, but was more spiritual than just a certain denomination. So she was, the college she went to shared the dorms with us. And I lived next door to her boyfriend.
Okay.
So we met, and she was always wanting to go to church, always wanting to explore her religion, explore her theology, bounce it off other people and see where it fit. So, of course, I wanted to spend time with her. So I said, okay, I'll go to church with you. and the closest church that we could walk to just happened to be the cathedral.
That's
downtown Milwaukee, and it's beautiful. So that solved everybody's desire. She got to go to church. I got to spend time with her, and God was working His magic not only in my future spouse, but in my future vocation as well.
Now, after Milwaukee, you returned to Long Island, but a different person. You had a bachelor's degree now. You had a woman that you're very serious about, and now you had this passion for your faith. So, tell us what happened next out of Long Island.
For some reason, when we came back to Long Island, we just jumped into the church. We began immediately working with whatever their need was, we volunteered for. We ended up spending a lot of time with high school youth group kids.
Okay.
And before we were married in New York, Julie became Catholic.
Okay.
We went through the RCIA program and became Catholic.
All right. And you were married at a Catholic mass in 1986. And by the way, how did your family of origin respond to your kind of newfound Catholicism? Were they supportive?
Sure. I think they thought it was just a normal. again, you know, we considered ourselves Catholic.
Right.
Catholic. I mean, we went to Mass twice a year. We were.
Right. But you were a little more practicing now, so that wasn't intimidating to them or?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I think my mom actually came with more times too.
Good. We're talking with Deacon Andrew Naparano, Deacon at St. Margaret of Cortona Parish in Columbus, and he's our guest today on Answering the Call. And I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. So, Deacon Andy, your job would take you to additional geographic places. You went from Long Island to Tidewater, Virginia, Bridgewater, New Jersey. And at each location, you and Julie became more entrenched in your parish, continuing to work with the youth and teach, and you're also beginning to start your family at this time. Was it during these years then that the diaconate program first presented itself to you?
Yes. Our pastor in Bridgewater, New Jersey, had asked me if I ever thought about being a deacon. And my response was, there's no possible way I could fit that in my schedule because I was working 5 days a week. I'd leave the house, it was dark. I'd get home, it was dark.
Mm-hmm.
So I never saw my children awake.
Yeah.
Then Saturday was fix stuff around the house, mm-hmm. You know, your honey-do list. And then Sunday was church. So I said, yes, that's a possibility, but I don't think it would ever fit. And I prayed about it briefly, and I said, oh, thanks for the opportunity.
But God had a way of fitting it in, didn't he?
Yeah,
tell us
sure
about
does.
This. Tell us how that unfolded.
You know, when God wants something from you, you better pay attention. My excuse was I didn't have time. So I ended up leaving the company I was with and spent a couple of years with a company that I loved, by the way, which took me to Israel.
Wow.
We spent quite some weeks in Haifa. Got to travel the Holy Land.
That's beautiful.
With Julie and my three-month-old daughter at the time, Michelle. But through a series of events, the company was purchased and closed, and I found myself out of work. So I was out of work for about a year. And when you're out of work for a year, you have all kinds of time.
To start thinking about things.
Well, you know, God said I had no time. So God gave me time. And the time that he gave me, I used okay. I didn't use it all that well, but we used it. I prayed about it. And this diaconate thing never went away.
Mm-hmm.
It kept coming back. It kept coming back. And when you have the time to discern something and you do it and you arrive at the point where you start to believe that it's real, you should pay attention to it because the next couple of events that happened will prove to me anyway that if God was going to give me something and rearrange my life to make it happen, once I acknowledged that, if I didn't commit to it, he was going to put me back where I was.
Mm-hmm. So go on, tell us what happened next then.
Well, I ended up being rehired by the company I was with for the first major portion of my career. And they said, well, where do you want to go? We have nothing here in headquarters. And I said, what are my choices? And it was California, West Virginia, or Ohio. So I said, okay, Ohio. And we just like that, we picked Ohio, we picked Columbus, and we moved here. That's looking forward. Looking backwards, God put us here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we moved here, and we called we church shopped a little bit, and then we were in the boundaries of St. Margaret of Cortona, which is the church that we fell in love with anyway. I remember picking up the phone and calling and saying, hi, this is Andy Naparano. We just moved here. My wife and I have been Eucharistic ministers, preschool teachers, high school youth group leaders, lectors. Whatever you need, if anything you need, please call us back. I hung the phone up. When the phone hit the receiver, it was ringing. It was Monsignor Borelli. And he was the first one, after meeting with us, said, have you ever thought about becoming a deacon? I said, it's funny you should ask. But yes, actually, I have been asked, but we're brand new here. We just moved here.
Yeah.
But that night I started thinking about it and praying about it again. I remember praying that God, I feel like you put us here for a reason. Because I went from working 5 days a week in a cube in the office, leaving the house when it was dark, getting home when it was dark, to working out of my house.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to do, but very worthwhile if you can have the opportunity. So I remember saying, God, I feel like you put me here for a reason. And God responds, I put you everywhere for a reason, but you're just too preoccupied sometimes to realize that. But I said, you know, this deacon thing, I have the time now. You've rearranged my life. I saw that clearly. I'm gonna do it. We moved from New Jersey to Columbus. I have the time to do it. I'm gonna find out what I have to do. And I called Frank, and he said, how many theology credits do you have so far? And I said, I'm including, I have none. So he said, well, you need to get some, which I started doing. And then I started realizing that if I'm home, I could also play golf. And I started playing golf and enjoying the summer and just enjoyed the things that I hadn't done for the previous 15 years of my career, which was whatever I wanted. I was successful at my career, but I was having free time too. So that put the deacon thing on the burner, side burner, because I'll do that in the fall.
Yeah.
You know, when it's colder and I can't do some outside things. The next day, my phone rang. It was the vice president of sales for the company I was with, said, we want you to come back to New Jersey. I said, what? Yeah, we want you to be take this position and come back to New Jersey. Right then, it was God saying, if you acknowledge the fact that I rearranged your life and gave you the free time you needed, you said you were going to do something for me that I'm calling you to do, and you're going to change your mind, I'm going to change my mind. I'm putting you back in New Jersey. When we met with the bishop after we were accepted into the deacon class, he just went around the room and said, you know, what? Tell me a little bit about your call. What made you decide that you were being called? And I said, oh, for me, it was pretty simple. God said he'd put me back in New Jersey.
And he didn't respond.
The bishop said, I completely understand.
So that was a way that you heard the call, and then you really answered it, because New Jersey was not looking like a good option for you. So.
Yes, but I mean, it was clear. If you believe you have a call from God and it's real and you acknowledge it, it's easier to follow through with it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, so then you were accepted into the program and you begin your formation years. And a lot of my deacon guests have shared the struggles of balancing the years of formation with work and family life. How did you and Julie do that?
It was never really a struggle for us. It's hard work. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. You know, I've been out of school for a number of years and had to write papers all of a sudden that were being graded by people who are in school as professors and PhDs. And I mean, they're handing stuff back saying, I don't know what to do with this. I'm like, I don't know what to do with it either. But we managed it. I'm blessed to be working out of my home. So I don't have to cut the grass on Saturday. I can cut it on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So we rearranged our schedule, and it was part of the whole family's scheduling and effort anyway. So,
and it sounds like Julie was very supportive of this.
Julie
whole
was supportive.
Process.
My children were supportive, and we all grew together. So we didn't look at it as, oh, Daddy's going to be gone this Saturday. We looked at it as, this is a journey that we're all on together.
Was she able to partake in some of the classes and the formation weekends?
She did on some, not as much as some of the wives who attended almost all the classes. She came when things were interesting, and was home being a mom and
held down the fort
her mm-hmm. career.
Now you've been ordained a deacon for almost 4 years, and you've passed that breaking in period, as Deacon Frank
almost
likes to call it, almost 5 years now. What do you find most rewarding about your ministry as a deacon?
On a personal level, I find a great comfort and love for Liturgy of the Hours, for praying in union with the church. And I miss very much praying on Saturdays with my brother deacons in class. Outwardly, I really enjoy preaching. I still get nervous every time, and my wife says that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy spending time with the gospel readings in preparation for writing, for preaching, and letting the Holy Spirit do what it wants to do with me and preaching that message.
And what it's most challenging about being a deacon?
I don't have an answer for what's the most challenging. I don't really classify things as this is a challenge, this is an opportunity. It's all just kind of part of it for me. Spending time, finding the time to, you want to say yes to everything, but you can't. So trying to find the ways and the things that we turn down that we can't physically fit in, is difficult, but it's, I don't really classify anything really as a challenge. It's because we don't know what to expect. Right? No. Frank said, whatever you're expecting, don't expect it. So if I don't know what to expect, then everything's just kind of part of it. It's not really a challenge. It's all just part of what God's asking us to do. And, you know, serving his people, whether they be Catholic or not, is something that I find is coming more common. The people that I cross paths with in my life, everybody just wants to be ministered to in love. And, you know, when Jesus comes back, hopefully that's what he finds us doing, ministering to each other in love, whether we're ordained or not.
Oh, that's beautiful. And it seems like, Deacon Andy, you've arrived at a really good place in your spiritual journey, because it's that general acceptance of God's will. Like you said, you never know what your deacon ministry is going to entail. You've had the situations you shared with us. You're kind of running away from the job things, but finally understanding that, you know, you don't have to wrestle with doing things your own way, you know, on your terms. But just to really let God unfold what he wants to do in your life. And I think that's a place spiritually where all of us, you know, want to strive to be. It's kind of a freeing feeling not to have expectations or pre-made plans. Wouldn't you think so?
Yes, I completely agree.
And even when crosses come, and crosses always come to everybody, you know, it seems like that you still are trusting in that will. Share with us a little bit about a health issue you're dealing with and how your faith helps you navigate through that.
Sure. You know, our crosses are our crosses individually. They're here for us somehow to grow in holiness. We don't always know how, but if we trust somehow, they do. My cross, I was diagnosed about 2 years ago with early onset Parkinson's.
So what is that? How is it? Is it affecting your health now, or is it something that could be out there that you have to...
It's a balance issue, and it's a progressively degenerative disease that will continue to get worse. Michael J. Fox is famous, Pope John Paul II had Parkinson's. I assume it will eventually win, but it's not going to win today.
Right.
And God gives us the grace to deal with things today. So because of it, though, I found the opportunity to, I tell a friend of mine who's working with me with Parkinson's that I'm richer now because of it, because I have the opportunity to minister to people and meet people and just be present to people who I never would have been able to share with. And when I focus, instead of focusing inside, I focus on all the things that I'm not going to be able to do 5 years, 10 years, all the years that God doesn't give us any grace to deal with anyway. When I stop doing that and focus outside on helping people, you know, through my cross, it's not even really suffering anymore. It becomes just an opportunity to do what we're all called to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus still works miracles here, but he works them through the new body of Christ, which is us.
Very good. You know, as a person who's heard God's call regarding vocations, you recognize it, but you didn't respond immediately. What words of wisdom can you give the rest of us who are trying to listen and obey?
Just continue to pray always and spend as much time listening in prayer as you do speaking in prayer. And you'll feel the gentle guidance of the Holy Spirit, because through our baptism, we all have a role to play in the building up of the kingdom, not just clergy. And when we hear that call and we recognize that call and we discern it from other calls in our life, answer it. Say yes. You know, Mary's a perfect example of how to use our freedom to say yes to what God wills for us. So listen. If you discern something and it's a real call, pray about it. Talk to your spiritual advisor about it, but say yes. And God will be faithful to that call. And he'll move things around in your life and make it easy if you say yes. And in my case, if you say no,
he doesn't give up on us. Isn't that great?
He doesn't give up on us, right?
In our last 2 minutes together, let's talk a little bit about St. Margaret of Cortona, because you mentioned that this was a parish you belonged to before you were ordained a deacon.
Yes.
Sometimes for people making that transition, you know, in the eyes of their fellow parishioners can be difficult. Was it a difficult transition for you, or were the people pretty receptive to that?
The people have been fantastic to me. That's great. The community has been very supportive. It feels completely organic coming from the community and being assigned there to serve that community. It's been a blessing that I clearly don't deserve. But it's been wonderful.
And give us a snapshot of that parish for those who've never heard of it or been there. Is it small?
It's
in Columbus.
It's a small parish for, you know, compared to the mega churches that we're building. It's on the west side of Columbus. It was has an Italian heritage.
Mm-hmm.
It was the original church was petitioned by people who came from Italy to be stonemasons in the quarry.
Okay.
The festival
so a lot of generations of families.
Sure, and generations of families who have been there. It's a wonderful place. It feels like home.
Sounds like a beautiful parish. Well, Deacon Andrew Napron, has been so wonderful hearing about your journey. Can I ask you to close our show with a blessing today?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to send your Spirit and your grace showered down upon the earth to guide us to do your will, to hear your voice, and to rearrange the things in our lives that prevent us from hearing you and answering you. When we hear your call, give us the strength to say yes. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Thanks again, Deacon Andy, for sharing our journey. Beautiful story. This is Elizabeth Ficicelli, host for Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and Sundays at 4 for another edition of Answering the Call. Have a wonderful week. God bless.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.